Okay, good morning. We are up to Dira Yom Beis, Perek Beis. We are in the Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav. Shlomo now embarks on building the Beis HaMikdash. He sends a message to Hiram. Hiram, he mentions to him that I'm building here a structure which is beyond my means, and don't think that we can downscale the size of the Beis HaMikdash. This is not just any ordinary house. This is a house for Hashem. Hashem is infinite. Anything we build for Him will be insufficient, but we have to do the best that we can. And the requirements are that it should be enormous, enormous in size. And therefore, I need your help. There is a question in the commentators if Shlomo really did need the help of Hiram. According to many, he did not. Shlomo could have built the Beis HaMikdash on his own. Why then was he asking for his assistance? So this opens up a whole issue. It touches upon why did Shlomo HaMelech, when he embarked on building the Beis HaMikdash, that he decided at that time to get married to many, many wives. He took, not only did he marry many women, but the wives he selected were from the nations of the world. He married the princesses of all the various kings. Some learned that he did not actually live with them. It was just a political alliance. But he did do this. This passage makes it very clear that he married many wives and he built for them palaces and entertained them. And eventually they did sway his heart, and Hashem criticized him for this. Why did he do that? So the answer given is because Shlomo wanted to bring Mashiach. And part of Mashiach is an Or La'amim. Mashiach's role is not just for Klal Yisrael. And in fact, we discussed this with Lung Yeshaya, that it really Mashiach's role is more for the nations of the world than it is for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they can take care of themselves. Klal Yisrael, they don't like when leaders tell them what to do. We have a history of doing what we want to do, and we're not so keen on paying attention, following orders from leaders. So Melech HaMashiach, of course, will be a leader for Klal Yisrael, but one of his major roles will be a leader for the nations of the world to teach them that Klal Yisrael is the Or La'amim, the Shechina rests in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina rests among Klal Yisrael, and they shall come and learn from Klal Yisrael how to conduct themselves, how to live their lives. Shlomo was attempting at great effort to bring Mashiach. And bringing Mashiach requires we bring on board the Umos HaOlam. And the way to do that is to marry, to make political alliances with the various nations of the world. And the best way to do that was to marry their daughters. And when Shlomo HaMelech is the son-in-law of the Melech of every single nation, obviously those kings are going to pay close attention to what's taking place in Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to come and learn from our ways, and the world will reach its perfection. Along this theme, Farshim want to suggest that that's why Shlomo attempted to bring in Hiram to assist in building the Beis HaMikdash. It's not that Shlomo needed Hiram. He didn't need. They had enough supplies. They had enough laborers, enough workers. Shlomo wanted to give Hiram, who was at that point in time the world leader, I guess he was a match to some degree for Shlomo HaMelech, had enormous influence over the civilized world. And by Shlomo inviting Hiram to participate, it would awaken among the nations of the world an interest in the Beis HaMikdash, a personal interest. It would be the topic of discussion every single day. Just like Noach built a teva for 120 years. Chazal tells us he could have built a teva in a couple of days. Why did it take 120 years to build a teva? In order that people should see that Noach is building a teva and ask questions and talk about it, discuss it. And here Hashem is going to bring a marble to destroy the world because the world is not following in the ways of Hashem. They're committing terrible averos and people should do tshuva. Same thing. Shlomo wanted to bring on board other nations to participate for their good, for their best interest, not for our best interest. Okay, that is one important idea. Another idea why Shlomo is inviting Hiram, it goes back to why Hashem did not allow David HaMelech to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan of Moshe and was not destroyed because Moshe was so pure his handiwork cannot have been destroyed. That's why it was put in Geniza, it's hidden from us. Hashem did not allow David HaMelech to build the Beis HaMikdash, among the many reasons we discussed. One of the prominent reasons is because David was so pure, was so holy. If David would have built the Beis HaMikdash, it would have been impossible for it to have been destroyed. And then if years later Klal Yisrael would not do the will of Hashem, Hashem would have no choice but to, Rachman Litzlan, Hashem, destroy Klal Yisrael. Hashem would not have another means of bringing Kapar for Klal Yisrael. But by waiting until it was built by Shlomo, Shlomo was not on the Madrega of David, the Kavan that went into building the Mikdash was not the same, and thus, if Klal Yisrael would no longer be deserving of the Beis HaMikdash, would be deserving of punishment, Hashem would pour out His anger on the bricks and wood and stones of the Beis HaMikdash and spare Klal Yisrael from complete destruction. In that line of thought, that same reasoning, this is why Shlomo was required to bring on board Chiram, because Chiram was a goy. Chiram, after everything was said and done, was not from Klal Yisrael, and his kavana, his intent, that the kavana that he added to the Beis HaMikdash was not anywhere near the purity, the tahara of Klal Yisrael, and that would basically allow an escape clause. It would be a backup insurance that the Mikdash, it's a strange thing to say, but that's what the Mepharshim say, the Mikdash should not be built with too much Kedusha. Because it was known before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that before Shlomo and David, that the Mikdash, that there would be a time when Klal Yisrael would be deserving of punishment, and the punishment would come either by destroying the Beis HaMikdash or by destroying Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael. And there had to be an escape clause, it had to be a way out for Klal Yisrael, and that had to be through the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why specifically, we had to bring on board people who would not build it with its fullest purity, so that the Mikdash can be the carbon for Klal Yisrael. It's a bizarre approach, but that's really in the Medrash, and that's why Chiram was invited. So here David says to Chiram, Pasuk Vav Yatoa now, Shlach li ish chacham. Now David says to Chiram, Shlomo says to Chiram, bring me, send me a man, you're not a skilled laborer. You may be very wealthy, very smart, a very talented person, and you're the king of the world. Different midrashim, some learn that Chiram was the same Chiram as Ishu Adulami, the friend of Yehuda. And we know that this Chiram, he lived for at least 400 years. We know that Yecheskel, he's living now, this king now of Chiram, Melech Tzar, is alive now. And Yecheskel speaks about him in Sefer Yecheskel. So Chazal say, therefore, there's no question, he had at least be 400 or 500 years old. The Bayis Rishon lasted for 410 years.
Is that Hiram of Tyre?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Tsar is Tyre, and Hiram, correct, Chiram. Chiram Melech Tsar. So he lived, we don't know how this works, it's Malam Derech HaTeva, a person can live 400 years. And but some of them, it's a medrash. The medrash says there's another opinion that says that he not only did he live for the 400 years of the Bayis Rishon, we find him here in the time of the beginning, we find him in the time of David. We'll mention him in great respect for David HaMelech, for Shlomo's father, and he lived all the way through the Churban Bayis Rishon, so that covers a span of almost 500 years. But according to one opinion, he was the same Chiram that appears in Sefer in Parashas. What is the Parashas Vayeshev? Vayeshev, which parasha with Yehuda and Tamar, so he's the same Chiram that appears there, and he was, that would make him, that means he would have lived for over 1,100 years, even longer than Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon is, I think, the oldest person known to us, if I'm not mistaken. He lived how long was Mr. Shelach? 9, how long, again, Adam was 930. Adam was
930.
Yeah. No, Mr. Shelach was the oldest? Okay, so that would make him even older than Mr. Shelach. And that's a tremendous chiddush. Does it to be taken literally, this chiddush? Or is there some type of Kabbalistic concept of Gilgal, whatever all that's about? Or maybe it means a line of children that were very similar to their father, we do not know. But that's what it says in the Medrash. Two different opinions, either it was the same person, but there definitely is an association between the two, which we'll come to in a few moments. So now Shlomo says, V'yata now, so he was a very great person, but he did not actually have the skills to participate, but he did have in his country, in Tsar and Tyre, a very skilled person. The person that won the Nobel Prize for craftsmanship. architecture, not only architecture, for everything, all different skills, all different types of skills.
Leonardo da Vinci.
He was the expert, this person, and Shlomo is now begging Hiram, do me a favor, use your influence and send him over here. We need his skills. We need his skills in building the Beit HaMikdash. Now we're going to see in the Medrash that he was a Jew. This person, either we do not know his name, or we do know his name, and the name is a very great coincidence. It was the same name as Hiram. His name was also Hiram. The king of Tyre was Hiram, and the name of this craftsman, we'll see, I'm not making this up, we'll see over in the Mefarish, his name also was Hiram, and he was the master craftsman of the world, and he was a Jew. And in fact, he came from a mixed marriage from two different Shvatim. His mother was from Shevet Dan, we'll see in a moment. And one parent was Dan, and one parent was from Shevet Naphtali. And he just happened to be living in this country called Tsar Tyre. A nice Jewish boy was living in a foreign land in Golis, away from Eretz Yisrael. And they needed the influence of Hiram to allow him to come to the Beis HaMikdash to participate in its construction and its design. The Atah now, Shlachli Ish Chacham, a wise man. He had someone very specific in mind, obviously. La'asos, in order to assist us in Bazahav, Uva Kesef, Uva Nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, Uva Barzel, Ayin, Uva Argamon, Uva Argivon. Okay, it doesn't say Argamon, it's a different word. This vocabulary, as we mentioned many times, was upgraded to the common spoken language, the way the words already were used in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. This sefer is written much later, and it was written in the language of the time. So instead of Argamon with a mem, Argamon, it's very interesting how words change. How does that happen? That words change. Uvo Argivon, purple. V'charmil. Charmil is a very unusual word. Armil is to, we have, all the Mepharshim say we have to assume it refers to Tolashani. Tolashani means red. It was wool, dyed red. It was used from worms. They took worms, certain types of worms, which had their blood with some secretion, enzymes, whatever they had. They extracted from these little creatures in order to produce a red dye. This word does not appear elsewhere except for Divrei Hayamim, and it's here charmil, but it's assumed to be the equivalent of the Toila Hashani. Usecheles, we know Secheles, of course, is blue. The Odea, and he knows also Lefatech Pituchim. That means to create settings. It's a great skill to create settings for precious stones. Stone, it's one thing to have a precious stone, but this precious stone must be put in the right setting, otherwise it can break, it can shatter. Its beauty cannot be seen, is not expressed, unless it knows how to be put, and therefore you need an expert to do this, to open up Pesach, Pituchim Loshon of Pesach, to open up openings in the ground, or in the walls, or in different ornaments, to create openings to put the stone there in order that it will enhance the beauty of the object. That's called, we need a special skill person, Lefatech Pituchim. Now, this is very interesting, this is a very important point. Im ha-chachamim asher imi b'Yehuda u'b'Yerushalayim. This is very important. Shlomo is telling Hiram, I want you to send me a master craftsman, but he's only going to be secondary to my people. My people are in charge. This is a very critical point, because you go back to Sefer Shmuel, you go back to Sefer Melachim, everything Sefer Melachim here is very different. There's a lot of discussion. I'm so confused. I don't even know what to say. I can't make heads and tails of the differences between here and Sefer Melachim. So I'm just going to ignore it, because I can't figure out what's going on. But there are a lot of differences in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim in how this story is presented. And you can all say all the Jewish that we've said so many times, David the man, David the melech. Is it for Klal Yisrael? Is it for the individual? Is it the Ruchnius? Is it the Gashmius? Okay, we'll leave it for now. We'll just leave that alone. Maybe we'll discuss another time. But here he says, Asher, one very interesting point that's mentioned very clearly here, Shlomo says that your man that you send will be my assistant. Asher imi b'Yehuda b'Yerushalayim, Asher hechin David avi, which my father has prepared. My father David has prepared the space HaMikdash, and send them over to assist in the building of Yehuda over Yerushalayim, Asher Heichin David Avi. Pasuk Zayin, Shlachli. Now, here we go to the next pasuk, yeah?
Didn't they have, wouldn't have you needed a master builder
as opposed to a craftsman, because we've had all the kalim from beforehand made by.
Okay, some of the kalim were retired. Some of the kalim were changed. Were different. Like in a chana, there were some that were the same, but there were many new things that were added, which we're going to just learn about in the next couple of parakim. We briefly go through different parts of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was an enormous project. It was nothing like the Mishkan. It was on a scale way beyond anything that it was before. Even the kalim were different, and we needed some very skilled people to participate. Pasuk Zayin. Now, in addition to sending me an Ish Chacham that's going to work with the material, gold, silver, copper, iron, Tcheles, Talashani, Argamon, and to make settings, I also need woodcutters. I need different types with cedar and algomim. Ushlachli also sent for me Atzei Arozim, cedar, Biroshim, that's another type of very expensive wood.
Cypress
wood? Cypress wood, the algumim, what kind of wood is that? I don't know anything about woods. It's a very expensive type of woods. Mehalavanon, from Lebanon, that's all the way up north where Sar is located. Ki ani yodati, asher avadecha yodim, I am well aware that your servants know, lichros, to cut atzei levanon, how to cut down the trees, vihinei avadai. Now here he makes a very interesting point. With regard to the wood, you are in charge. Avodai im avodecha. Fascinating point. When it comes to the gold, silver, copper, the metals, the precious metals, then and all the wool, I'm in charge. But when it comes to the wood, when it comes to the product of the earth, that you are in charge, and I will be secondary. So what's the significance? I don't know. There must be something very deep, something very no farshim. No, but it's obviously it's true. But there's obviously something deeper here, that here they built the base mitzvah called the Shparuch, the Mikdash needs different types of raw material. We need wood, and we need also precious material. It appears that the wood is the basics. The wood is like, you know, the skeleton of the Beis HaMikdash. You need wood. On top of the wood, you plate it with gold and silver and the copper. Those things are for utensils. Those are enhancements. Those are furnishings, beautification. So Shlomo seems to be saying, when it comes to this structure, you will have a partnership in the skeleton, in the actual foundation of the Beis HaMikdash, the wood. The wood is something which is not just for decoration. The wood is something which is actually keeps the walls up. It's part of the. But when it comes to the beautification and the kale and the furnishings, so then I am primary. You are secondary. So there's something there. There's something in this world. You look at this world. In this world, Hashem made the world. Right, there's the earth, and man comes along and he develops the earth on his own. He contributes to the earth. The Beis HaMikdash is being established by Chiram. He's going to be the primary supplier and take the lead in laying the foundation with all the main raw materials, and then the furnishings. The avod that's going to be done in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be supplied and handled by us, by Klal Yisrael. We will take the lead, and the nation of the world will follow in our lead. There's something there more, I don't know. Maybe we'll come to it at some point in time. Pasik Ches, Ulhachin Li Eitzim Lerov, I want you to prepare for me an enormous amount of Eitzim wood. Ki Abayis Asher Ani Boneh Gadol VeHafle, this beautiful expression is going to be Gadol, is going to be great, VeHafle and wondrous. It's not going to operate according to the rules of nature. It's going to be a Pella. A Pella is a wonder. Hafle VeFela, wonder. Osos Umovsim. Mofe, well, that's not the same word, but it's a niflaos, a wonder. It's not going to operate according to the rules of nature. Gadol v'hafle. In other words, Pella, we all know, is the letters of Aleph. Pella is the opposite. Pei, Lamed, Aleph. If you go backwards, Aleph, Lamed, Pei is Aleph. Aleph is the most basic, building starting point of creation. Bereishis Borelukim Eitz Hashemayim Eitz Haaretz. Hashem created the world with the Aleph base, and the basic element of creation is the Aleph. But Aleph backwards is Pella. Pella is a wonder, which means it's beyond anything that's natural. So how could that possibly be? The most simplest little thing in this world is an Aleph, and yet Pella is beyond the rules of nature. That's exactly the point. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all the same. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he confines, he takes things that are supernatural, and he's mitzamtzem, he condenses it into simple little things. Aleph becomes Pella, the Beis Hamikdash will both be a Pella, but also will be the basic starting point for the Shechina in this world. Pasuk test, v'hinei l'achayta, now here David says, this Shlomo says to Hiram, I will supply your workers with food. They need not worry. We have here the best pizza shops in Eretz Yisrael. Jerusalem too is here. And they need not worry. We will supply the workers with food. V'hinei l'achaytim, for those, the wood choppers. L'charsei ho'itzim, there's some repetition. I don't know why there are two different words for the same concept. L'charsei, l'charsei ho'itzim, maybe they're two different roles. They cut smaller pieces. Okay, so the choytvim and the kars, so those who cut down the trees and cut into little pieces, nasati I've given. Nasati does not mean, and this is a grammatical, Mitzvah says it means I will give. Sometimes when you refer in the future, you write in the past tense. When it's obvious in the context that you're referring to the future, you can read in the past. Nasati I've given machitim, I've given chitim, makos. What in the world does this mean? I've given chitim makos. Makos means a makah. It means that 10 makos. What does this mean? So the two interpretations, one is ground wheat. I'm not just going to give them the raw material. What? It's right, it's flour. I'm going to give them a finish. They don't have to go, I'm not going to give them bundles of wheat. They're going to have to go to the field and thresh and winnow and then grind to produce flour. Don't worry, it'll be easy. They'll have good meals ready to go. Ground makos means it's been beaten. It's been beaten, it's been processed. It's just a term, a borrowed term, processed wheat, or it means, makos means to chew. It's a fancy word, makos is short for we'll see in the Mitzvah in a moment, it means makolet. What's a makolet? A grocery. So a grocery, makolet, comes from the word makos, or makos comes from makolet. What's groceries? Grocery means, what does it mean a grocery, makolet? It really means things that you chew. Okay, that's really what it comes from. You buy groceries to go home and chew it up, and digest it, to eat it. So chitim, wheat, makos, for chewing, for consumption. Okay, so that's what it means, la avodecha, for your servants. And now he tells them exactly how much food he will supply. Everything is going to be pretty much the same in terms of the big numbers. Koyrim, a kor is 30 saw. Very popular term in the Gemara, 30 saw. Estrim, elef, 20,000 kors. Usa'or of wheat. And then we have usa'orim, barley. Notice only by wheat does it say it's going to be makos, but by barley does not make that statement. Usa'orim, barley, koyrim, eshrim, all of 20,000, v'yayin, batim, bas is 3 saw. So it's a tenth of a kor. A kor is 30 saw. A bas is 3 saw. So yayin, I'm giving you wine. So this is a liquid measure. 3 saw, equivalent of 3 saw batim, eshrim of 20,000 batim. The shemen, oil batim, eshrim olaf. So this is what David, in these pasuk vav to pasuk tes, David pleads with Hiram two things. Number one, send me a skilled craftsman to assist in dealing with the raw materials, and he will be our assistant. Furthermore, send us wood, and I'll send men, and our men will be your assistants. You will take the lead in bringing the wood, and then do not worry about their wages. We will supply them with food. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos David Pasuk Vav. Im hachachamim la'asoyis b'malacha im hachacham im shasha'imi. When it comes to the gold and silver, the barzel, and the copper, I will take the lead. They'll work for me. Mehalavon. Then I want wood. Where the wood? The artzecha, the levanon. See, the Levanon is a confusing word because we compare the Beis HaMikdash very often to the word Levanon. Could very well be the reason why the Beis HaMikdash is called the Levanon is because the Mikdash was built from the wood, the cedars that came from the Levanon. Where is the main Levanon? The main Levanon is located up north in Tsar. Tsar, Tyre. Tyre today is not the Tyre of ancient times. Tsar and Sidon are different. The Tsar and Sidon found in the Gemara, it's a whole different location on the map today. It's not. I don't think it's the same place. I think it's Tsar, ancient Tsar, was somewhere in Lebanon. Lebanon, modern day Lebanon, is where it appears to be the ancient Tyre.
The flag of Lebanon has the cedar tree.
Yeah, that's the real. That's the ancient. And where is okay? Yoidim lichores of the aketzef anir lemelachas abinyan. They know how to cut. So the Matzuda says, according to the mount, the ketzef, the specifications. So we'll give you the specs. I guess, you know, different types of wood, 2x4s, 2x2s, all different types of specifications that we need. They know how to cut according to our specifications. Im avadecha yu, im avadecha l'sei Elohim. Here, I'm going to let your servants take the lead. Keib ches, ulohachin, siv lochin li, as my father David instructed to prepare for the Beis HaMikdash, and this building will be gadol v'haflei, b'roiv ha-godel, u'me-ha-tzarech im-kein lo-itzim rubim, due to the enormous, the magnitude of this project, we need a lot of wood. Okay, so pause. Then do not worry. I'm going to provide food. Lachoitvim ulutosefes beir amal lekarso etzim. So here, according to the Mitzvot, he says that it's basically the same word, lachoitvim, and then he adds. It also means lachoitvim. Nasatik ma'etain. Here in the past tense, there is the first future tense, makos. What does it mean? Chitim makos, kosus v'tochun, ground. I will provide ground wheat. Ohu milosh neches. Okay, so the mem and the nun are interchanged. Okay, I guess you can do that. If we targum, what is the word neches? It is the targum shel neshech. Neshech means to bite. The targum al tikach miito neshech visarbis. Neshech means to bite. Bite is neches. The rotzel loymar linshech bishinehem, to chew with their teeth. Ula achlam the yek mashakasa b'malachim aleph makolas. There, malachim aleph, it says, it doesn't say makolas, it doesn't say makos. There's an extra lamet in Sefer Malachim. There's a lamet, and the word makolas shu kmo ma'acholas. What does makolas mean? Okay, we translate it as a makolat. Makolat is a grocery, but makolas comes from the word ma'acholas. And what does it mean, ma'acholas? Well, right away you see there the sharish aleph lamed chaf ochel, ochel aleph chaf lamed ochel. Ochel is food. So here it's amazing how many madrigals we're going. Ma'achol ochel, ma'acholas, ma'kolet, and then comes neches, makos. Look at the etymology. Look how far we're going down. How many madrigals of words we're going from one word to the other. It all starts out, the word makos all starts out from the word ochel. That's a long process. Ochel, ma'acholes, ma'koles, neches, and then kaneshech, which relates to the word, relating all the way back to the word makos. Unbelievable how far we go to get the translation of a word. Okay, let's take a look at the Rashi's. Pasuk Vav. Uve argivon. This unusual word for purple. Uve argivon ze argamon. The mem and the vav somehow got exchanged in this modern language. The charmil. Whoever heard of this word charmil? Zotola shani. This is scarlet. Teda, red, share, lo niskar kan to lashani. It has to be because by process of elimination it's not mentioned, and we know that in the Midrash there's a requirement to lashani, and that's the only one that's not listed, and there's a new word, so it must be they are one and the same. V'yodeh lefatech pituchim, dugma pituchei chosam, like we know on the choshen, the stones are pituchei chosam. They are, a chosam means a seal. A seal is inserted into a pesach, pituchei, the opening for the chosam, for the seal, the seal which when you press it against the ink, against clay, it causes to make a mark and embosses a mark, but it's put in a pituche, in an opening. Same exact thing over here. Dugma pituche chosam sheyodeh lachtoim, ulitzayir ba'avonim, they know how to to engrave and to put stones into,
to engrave
stones. They know how to engrave stones. Nasati chitim makos kehi b'loshen Ashkenaz pull oif. Know what that means? B'loshen Ashkenaz, old French. The Yesham, some say makos.
German.
B'loshen is German. Pull. No, it wasn't pull oif. I don't know what that means. It means ground. Okay, I don't know what it means. Because then he goes, V'yeshem, some say means makos kisusim, it means crush, ground. That is the Mitsudos' first interpretation. Ground wheat, kisumim loitzi chitim mashibolas, it's ground wheat to extract the kernel from the chaff. V'yayin batim, loshen bas midabalach, kor biyavesh. Bas, batim comes from the word bas. Bas is found in the Talmud often. Bas is a liquid measure, 3 saw. Whereas a kor is a solid dry measure, which is 30 saw. Okay. Let's go further. Pasek, Yevayemer, Churam, Melech Tsar. Churam, Melech Tsar, his name is a little bit different here. He's called Churam. Was called, Vayomer, Chulam, Melech Tsar, Bechsav. He said in writing, and this does not appear in Sefer Melochim. Meaning, then it goes on, Vayishlach al Shlomo, and he sends to Shlomo the following message. Now it appears, we'll try to read between the lines in a few moments, but it appears in ancient times when you sent a message to the king, there were different types of ways of sending messages and responding. Sometimes you would send a message in writing, and sometimes you would send it orally. And when the recipient of the message would respond, sometimes they would respond by sending a messenger to give over the message in orally with words, dibur, and sometimes they would give it over in writing, and sometimes both. Sometimes it was like a riddle, that there was a team. One person would deliver something in writing, and another person would have a message of words, and the message of writing wouldn't make any sense, and the words would not make any sense. It's only when you combine the words with the writing, then you understand the full message. The whole interesting technique, sometimes code, talk about encryption, right? Today, security is such a big thing today. Two different types over here, it's a code. There's the written portion, and there is the oral portion, the oral written response. So here we have. Here it says this expression, Vayomer. Yomer seemingly means, literally, he said. Said means it was done orally. But yet it says, Melotzar b'chsof, it was said in writing. So does that mean it's only writing, but it's a combination? That we'll see in a moment. Vayishlach l'shlomo, he said to Shlomo, Be'avas Hashem el amo. So it's a beautiful message, that due to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves his nation, Hashem has a very deep love for Klal Yisrael, Nisancha Alehem Melech, he has appointed you upon them as Melech. Not just any ordinary Melech. If Hashem just only loved Klal Yisrael a little, then he would have just selected anyone, just there would have been elections, whoever won the election would be the king. But Hashem selected someone very special. And when you have a special leader, then the nation has special success, special siyata d'shmaya. And because Hashem has a very deep love of Klal Yisrael, He selected the most beloved person in the world to lead and guide them, none other than you, Shlomo, the son of David. Vayom Echura Machurim said, so here I think you get over here this idea that it was Vayom B'chsov, in the Ksav, it was written a bracha. Hashem loves Klal Yisrael, He blessed them by appointing you as the king. And Vayomer Churam, and this expression, now when it says Vayomer, was part of the oral message. It was not part of something that was put in writing. Here, obviously, Chum, he learned Chumash. He knew that when you bless Klal Yisrael, you first bless Hashem, and then you bless Adam. Not like Malki Tzedek, who made the fatal mistake where he first blessed Avraham. Baruch Avraham Lekel Elyon Konei Shamayim Varetz. He first mentioned Avraham, and then he mentioned Hashem, and because of that mistake of giving more cover to men than cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kohuna was taken away from him and was given to the descendants of Avraham. That's what Chazal say. So Churam, depending on how you read it, depending on where it's written, in different places, he made the mistake, he was correct, he learned from that mistake, and he gives a bracha first to Hashem, and then he gives the bracha to David or Shlomo. Vayomer Huram Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Oso, who has created Es Hashemayim V'Es Aretz, Asher Nosan LeDavid Hamelech Bein Chacham. Blessed be Hashem was given Shlomo. This is a beautiful bracha to learn from Chiram, that you give kavod to a father. They have given you such a wonderful child. Bein Chacham, that's the greatest nachas you can give a person, is you can tell them how good their children are. There's no greater bracha you can give a person than that. Bein Chacham, Yodea, he's given Shlomo a son who is Yodea Sechel Ubina, has understanding and knowledge, Ashayiv Nevais Lashem, who will build a Bais Lashem, Ubais Lamalchuso, and a Bais for his kingdom. So his blessing, Hashem was given, created heaven and the earth, and has given David a child that will build for him a Bais and build him a Malchus. Now, there is a very interesting medrash that says, Chiram, you know, we know Chiram in Sefer Yecheskel was a very problematic person. Chiram got a little bit carried away with himself. And he believed that he was a god. He believed that, in fact, he built himself a city, this magnificent, majestic city that floated on water. And it had seven heavens, and he had a kisya kavod, and he actually made believe that he ruled the world. We don't know what all of these things mean. Now, if you learn Sefer Yecheskel, you get the impression that this took place at the end of Chiram's life, after this whole story. Chiram was a very good person. That's what it says, I think it says this first one of the Midrashim. And Chiram, he went and he built the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mikdash was very obvious, very successful. The Shechina came down to this world, and he became very arrogant that it was his doing, his participation, that brought about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He supplied the cedars. He sent the best craftsmen. So he got credit. And this credit went to his head. And he became more and more arrogant to the point where he believed that he himself was God. And he built this magnificent supernatural world where he sat in the Kisei HaKavod, until Hashem said to him, "You arrogant, good for nothing, how dare you compare yourself to me?" And Hashem humbled him, and he died, and so on and so forth. When did that happen? End of his life, all the way at the time of the Bayis Sheni, at the time, the end of the Bayis Rishon. That's, I think it says that, if I'm not mistaken, in the Farish Medrash. However, there is another Medrash, fascinating Medrash, that says just the opposite. This took place before Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. And Shlomo heard about this person, Chiram, who thinks that he's a god. He thinks that he's the god of the world. And Shlomo went to him and gave him Musar and convinced him that you're not the god. Hashem is the god. Ribono Shel Olam, he controls the world. And slowly, Chiram was Chozer B'Shuva, and he became a religious person. And Chiram had incredible Hakoras HaToiv to Shlomo for teaching him the truth, for teaching him that there is a Ribono Shel Olam. And that is all alluded to here in this pasuk. This is the pasuk that they based it on. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Osa Es Hashamayim V'Esa Aretz. Asher Nosan LeDavid HaMelech Bein Chacham Yudeh Seich Lovina Asher Yivne Bayis LaHashem Veis LaMalchuso. He's basically saying that this man Shlomo, he got me back on the right path. I made a terrible mistake. I was a koifer. I was an atheist. I was who knows what you want to call him, whatever you want to call him, all different terms. He didn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He believed he was the God, and Shlomo put him on the right path. He taught him that there is a Boirei Olam, Hashem indeed, who did create the Shemayim Va'aretz, and a Makir Toiv to him. And that's why he gives him this lavish praise. Very interesting twist on when exactly the Mice of Chiram took place. Did it take place after, or did it take place before? And that's why Shlomo was so close with him, and also it's to the reason why Shlomo asked him to participate in building the Beis HaMikdash. And it goes further, if I'm not mistaken, the Midrash says, and that's why Hashem wanted B'davka Chiram to build the Beis HaMikdash, because Chiram had a Maila that he came to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the true Melech. It's one thing when you're born, there are different miles. This is the very big debate between Yisro and Moshe. how should a person, the Rambam, this is the Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim, big debate, how should a person come to recognize Hashem? Is it just to rely upon emunah in your forefathers? If they gave you over the tradition that there is a creator, just have faith and that's the end. Don't ask too many questions because you might become a kofer. Or is it preferred for a person to challenge himself to discover in the Bria through debate and through philosophy that there is a boyre olam? Yisro felt, that's two different children, Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisro, there's a Gershom and Eliezer. So there's a whole, they have to look in the Midrashim, look in the Rashi, alludes to this, the Ulm Farshim, is that Yisro came ato yodati ki he said, now I know that Hashem is Godel Mikol Hu Elohim. What does it mean that Yisro said, now I know? Because Yisro experimented with every single type of idolatry, every single type of God, until he finally came to the recognition that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only creator. That there is a mila to that. There is a mila. And Hashem Bidavka wanted Hiram to build the Beis HaMikdash because he was the one that had that Maila more than anyone else. He was the one who at one point in time believed that he was God. And there was no God. The extreme. And he humbled himself. He came around to see that he was mistaken, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only true God. Such a person that came to that realization, he is the one that should be the one who lays the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of this world. And that's a mila over David and Shlomo. Because David and Shlomo did not go through that process. They had emunah, primarily, emunah pshuta in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Pasuk Yibes, Yatoha now, Shalachti Isha, here he tells me, I'm sending you a man. Who is this man I'm going to send you? I'm sending the Shalachti Ish Chacham, Yadeh Bina L'chur Amavi. I'm sending you a man, Pasuk Yibes, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yibes. I'm sending you an Ish Chacham, now this is a very hard Pasuk to translate. I'm sending you an Ish Chacham, a wise man, with regard to your first request. You want an assistant who knows how to deal with gold, silver, copper, barzel, Tcheles, Argamon, Tulashani. Here he is. Lichuram Avi. What do those two words mean?
He was.
So there's no literal translation. However you translate it, you're getting into trouble. So we'll go throughout the translations, ideas, then we'll discuss. Either it means, I'm sending you a craftsman. He's not just my craftsman. He was my father. Now my father's name was not Churam. Seemingly, Churam, even though we know that in ancient times children had the same name, Junior, but let's assume that. Let's assume that Churam's father was not Churam. It just means he was the father, he was the craftsman who served in the palace under my father's leadership. Who is my father? Well, I am more famous than my father, so we'll refer to him as the father of Churam. You probably never heard of my father. But my father, whoever his name was, it was, this craftsman was his craftsman, my father's craftsman, and I was Yoyashim for my father, and he's good. I'm sending him to you. That's one interpretation. A second interpretation, coincidence. The name of the craftsman was Churam. Just like the name of the king of Tsar was Churam. I'm sending an Ish Chacham, Yudea Bina, and you know what his name is? His name is Lichuram, and why are we calling him Avi? Avi does not mean father, it means master. The master craftsman, the Tsar. There is no one in the world that can match his skills. Okay, that is those are the two basic interpretations. Let's go pasuk yud gimel. Now we learn about his yichus. He was a ben isha. Now, which means to say is that although his skills are supernatural, he's not a god. He's only a mortal. He's a ben isha min binostan. He's Jewish. Guess what? He's Jewish. Even though he lives in Tsar, he comes from the daughters of Minostan. His mother was a mixed marriage. The mother comes from Shevedan. The Aviv, his father is an Ish Tsari. His father lived here in this city called Tsar. Yodeh Lassos, and he knows this man, Yodeh referring to he himself, this person, going back on the person himself, the Chacham, Yodeh Lassos, Bazov, Akes, Vachoshes, Babarzel, Bo Avonim, Uvo Eitzim, Bo'argamon, Batacheles, Uvabutz, Linen, Uva Karmil, Tulashani, Ulifatech, Kolpituach, Velachshav, Kol Machashaves, to make calculations. Especially when it comes to embroidery. When one does embroidery, the greatest chachma is to have one image appear on one side, and a different image appear on the other side with the same stitch. Not to stitch together two different pieces of material. That was a tremendous chachma. How you can make these calculations to do your stitches in a way that you'll have two different images, two different sizes, going back and forth. That requires thought, a great thought process. Every thought that is required, he will be given to you. I am going to deliver this man to you, as per your request, to be an assistant to your wise man, and also to assist the wise men of Adoni, David, Avicha. So here, Hiram, incredible expression of humility, he calls David my master. That's a shocking expression. Hiram, we know, was such an incredible gaiva, either before or later, later on, here he's calling David my master, the wise man, Adoni, David Avicha. Now, a few things we have to discuss. First of all, notice that Hiram says, the person I'm sending you can do more, he's overqualified, more than what you requested. You didn't request butz, you didn't request avonim, you didn't request v'lachshev ma'kol ma'chashoves. All of these requirements were not made. You only had a few things. All you wanted was Zav, Kesef, Nechoshes, Barzel, Argamon, Karmil, Techeles, the Odel, Lefatech, Pituchim, that eight things. And how many did it respond? Zav, Kesef, Nechoshes, Barzel, Avonim, Uva Eitzim, Argamon, Techeles, Butz, Karmil, Ulefatech, Kol Pituchei, it's 11. The Lachshev Kol Machashaves, 12. 13, I think, total of 13. If I'm not mistaken, 13. 13, you only asked for 8. I'm sending you a person that can do 13 things, 5 more than what you requested. Okay, that's an interesting point. He's overqualified. Next thing is, it says he was a Ben Isha. What does he mean? Ben Isha means that he's his mother, his father died. His father died. He's a Ben Almana. And Chazal tell us his father came from Shevet Naphtali. We'll go and see the Rashi in a few moments, which means a combination of two different midos. What is the midah of Naphtali? Naphtali excelled in the midah of Tzfilah. Naphtuli elikim Naphtalti imachuzigam yecholti. Naphtali is the Shevet that was known to have the koyach ha-Tzfilah. Prayer. Dan was the pechusim shebeshvatim, was the most meek, the most humble of the shvatim. So this man, it's amazing, he has two qualities, two majestic qualities. So you talk about Shvatim, every Shevet, you study their Midos, okay, wonderful. But when you have a mixed marriage, and you combine different Midos, you get a very unique combination, very unique blend of character. Especially going back to Amich Hazal. This person was a combination of humility and the Koyach HaTfilah. He represented the both together. Which Chazal Nidhi tells, in order to be successful in Tfilah, you have to be humble. And it was specifically him was chosen to build, to be the master craftsman for the Beis Hamikdash. So, similar to building the Mishkan, we have Oholiyah ben Achisamach Lamate Don, together with Betzalel. There were two craftsmen that participated in the building of the Beis Hamikdash. It was Betzalel and the Oholiyah. Betzalel came from Shevet Yehuda, and Oholiyah came from Shevet Dan. And we learned this, Betzalel is from the elite, Yehuda is from the most choshev Shevet, they are the kings. Dan is the most humble. And the reason why Chazal tells us that the Hashem B'davka, one of these two, is that no one should say that they don't have a part in the Beis Hamikdash. The Mikdash is equal opportunity employer. We are equal, we don't discriminate. When you come to the Beis HaMikdash, come to the Mishkan, who built it? It was built by the greatest of the Shvatim and by the humblest, the most meek of the Shvatim, by Betzalel and by Dan. So here, we don't have two people building, we just have here this craftsman, but his midos are very unique. The Beis HaMikdash is described as Beis Tefillah L'chol Ho'amin. It's a Beis Tefillah. Who was going to build the Beis? A person who came from Shevet Naphtali. Naphtali excelled in the Koyach of Tefillah. His whole birth came from Naphtali. I wrestled. And Chazal interpreted this to mean that I wrestled, I was mispal, I was marbin tefillah, I should be zocha to be like my sister and have more children through my maidservants. Don represents humility. Don was the pechusim. And when you combine, you inject humility into your koyach ha-tzvilah, that supercharges, that puts the koyach ha-tzvilah on steroids. So it was, and that's exactly what we needed for the Beis HaMikdash, to be built with a supercharged koyach ha-tzvilah. His skills obviously came from his koyach ha-tzvilah. And that's what the Mikdash was constructed, was based on this foundation. Because that's what it is. It's a base tefillah l'chol ha'amim. Especially, that's how the nations of the world relate to it. And Chirim here is representing, who is Chirim? Chirim is representing the Umos Ha'olam. It's not just the reason we started with today. Shlomo is inviting Chirim. What is he inviting Chirim? According to most Mepharshim, Shlomo didn't need Chirim. They'll find enough wood, they'll get enough wood somewhere, they'll grow the wood, they'll find the wood, whatever it will be. They need Chiram. We don't need you. We want you to participate in order that this should be a base tefillah l'chol ha'am. Who among the ha'amim, who's living in your country, who's observing your culture? This individual, who has been supercharged with the koyach ha'tefillah, humility injected into tefillah, and he will be the sherish for the Beis HaMikdash.
Get skill from
that's another discussion. Okay, you're touching about something else that we mentioned over here. His name, another interpretation, Lechuram Avi. Another reason why he was called, this is actually a chassal, I forgot to mention this, another interpretation, why was he called Churam? According to the second approach, that his name was actually Churam, why are we calling him Avi? So we mentioned simply because the Avi refers to a sar, he was a master. Master Kassim. But Chazal, actually it's a Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, that's what his father did. And a person should always follow in the parnasa of your father. If your father is a carpenter, that's the parnasa you should go into. If your father was a doctor, you become a doctor. If your father was a lawyer, you become a lawyer. If your father was a rabbi, run away. It's not a profession for a nice Jewish boy.
It could be that his mother took a husband who was Lebanese from
Goy.
Not Jewish. So you say that she married a Goy.
Right, who was very skilled.
That's what it would seem like. Huh? That's what it would seem that from the simple right. Translation. However, Chazat, it could be that it's beferish in Malachim. It says that his father was from Shevet Naphtali. So Chazat make it very clear. Even the pasuk that he was Jewish from both sides. He just happened to be living in Tsar, which means there is. If you're living in Tsar, that means you're part of their culture. You can't deny that. You can't say you're not. There's something to it that you're also, but you're still Jewish. Okay, let's look at the point I want to make is that's why it says Chum Avi, to teach us this halacha. You always should follow in the profession of your father. That's the mazel of the mishpacha. That's the koyach of the mishpacha, and that's where you belong. Do we say this today? I don't think so. Today, I mean, you see many, many parents that are doctors, the children are doctors, and you see it because the children grew up with it. And many rabbanim, their children are rabbanim. You see it. I'm not talking about being Yerush, Rosh Hashivas, who the children are Yerush. I'm talking about choosing to go into the profession. You see it very often. That's brought down in the Gemara to do this. Definitely it's brought down that there's something to it. How far do we do this nowadays? I don't think it goes that far. But let's see what it says here in Rashi, and then we'll stop Rashi in the Mitzvah, first the Mitzvahs. Let's look at the Pasuk, the bracha that he gives, Pasuk Yud, back in the Mitzvah. So Chiram sends a beautiful bracha, Be'ahavas bavur shahashem oyeves amo, l'zeh himid oyscho aleihem l'melech lios lehem l'po'er ule'ez. It's a beautiful thing that he says. It's a very powerful thing that Hashem loves his nation, therefore he selected you, not just Stam, any guy. Hashem wants the nation to succeed. And in order for a nation to succeed, you have to have the right leader. Hashem selected the right leader. It's a son that Hashem loves, Klal Yisrael. Asher Yivne Asher Yiyah Boina Beis Hashem Beis Hogun L'Malchus Yisrael. He will build a proud bias, and he built a bias, a malchus, a proper malchus, the malchus that accomplishes what it needs to do. If he will be the boiner, he's saying that Shlomo will be the boiner, then yeah, b'tachlis hapev ha'yofi. Pasuk Yibetz v'yata, now God is able to accept Shlomo, Shlomo, v'yal shehizcha bo loim ha'bavas Hashem, l'zehivsik v'samach lo Hashem aloi, oz loim dim l'fona boruch Hashem. Now the reason why it says v'yomer, because he went off on a tangent. First he gives a bracha, so now we go back to the primary message. So it says the word Vayomer again, and he gives a bracha, v'choyzul divrei ha'kosef. L'churam avike. Here we come to that very difficult expression. I'm sending you a very skilled man. And his name is Le. The Lamed is a very difficult letter. Gesundheit. All the Mepharshim, they struggle with the Lamed. They want to bring raya's and the rules of grammar and how language changed. Probably books about this Lamed. The Lameds that appear in Divrei Hayamim, how they're used. They're not used in the typical way they're used in Chumash, in the way they're taught in grammar. Lichuram Avi. Kamo Lichuram Ula Avi. And what does that mean? So here the Mitzudos, his interpretation, is adding two more letters. Lichuram ulavi. What does that mean when you add those two more letters? The Ratzalaymar, Yoideya Bina V'Umen Muvok. He's a super skilled craftsman. Shali Ume Oz. From time immemorial, Hayu Umen Muvok Shel Avi. Not only is he my craftsman, I was Yoyrishim. He's the craftsman of my father's palace as well. So he knows what he's doing. Trust me. Oh, Halamit. The Lamed here, Lichuram, means B'makayim S. V'yalu Umon Omar, it means in place of S, I'm sending you S. So take away the Lamed and substitute it with the word, I'm sending you S, Churam Avi. V'yalu Umon Omar, ki gam shemo hi Churam. That the name, according to this interpretation, his name is also coincidence, is also a chiram. Kimash Omar b'mulachem al, the Karosh Avi, and he's called Avi b'loshon chashivus. I'm sending you S chiram, Avi, the master craftsman. He's called Avi b'loshon chashivus, al roif chachmasa ki av hu inyan. The word av represents the concept of sar, the choshuv and distinguished. He's in each tzuri ratzolaymar, me'oz hiskorer b'tzor. That's where he lives. He is a citizen of Tsar. And he knows how to do all of the skills you ask, plus a lot more. In addition to what you ask, he also knows how to think. To accomplish skilled labor. Where do we find this? We find this by the embroidery work of the Nashim. When it comes to embroidery, in order to produce different images on two sides of the material, that is what you need, extraordinary machshava, extraordinary skill. Asher yinosin lo, I'm sending him to assist you. Lasos oscha im chachmasecha, he can do to assist with your skill work. Let's see the Rashi. Okay, some beautiful Rashis here. But let's just the Rashi will finish. Pasik vav. Okay, so here he says here, according to Rashi, Rashi just says the first interpretation of the Mitzudos, and when it says Lichurim Avi, it means he is my father. He's referring to himself as Churim. He is the craftsman of Churim's father. Meaning my father. He's been around for quite a long time. He knows his stuff. He's Ben Isha. Almana Haisa. She was a widow. That's why we call her a Ben Isha. We did not make mention of his father. He is Min Benos Don, Misheve Don. V'av Ish Tzari. His father is Nisari. Yehudi Haya, Yosheb Tzar. So Rashi makes it very clear that he was a Jew living in Tzar. Dugma Oyved Edom, Hagiti. Like we have throughout Nach. All these people living in different countries, Oyved Edom, he's the Giti. Does that mean that he's a Pelishti? Because Gass was the capital of one of the Pelishtim states. No, it does not mean that. It means Shahaya Yosha Begas. The Levi Haya. He was a Levi from the Pesukim. It's very clear he was a Levi. We're going through that list, the list in the Yichus of the Levim. Of Melachim Ksev, Ben Isha Adir, and Melachim, there's more details about this person, this craftsman. Ben Isha Almona, Mimate Naftali, the Aviv Ish Tzori, Ella Imo midon v'ov minaftali. Now Rashi says, why is the pasuk giving us a zichus? Umay hu tzorich liaches me'ezer shevet hoya aviv imo zehu shekosav. This now we can say the pasuk in Chumash. Rachel gave her shifcha to Yaakov. Rachel gave Bila to Yaakov, and they had a child, Don. Why did she name her child Don? Donani Elokim, Hashem judge me. We'll see in a moment what it means. Gam naftuli Elokim naftalti machoisi, and she also named another child from Bila. She named him Naftali. Why did she name Naftali? So one was called Naftuli, means I struggle. Naftali means to struggle, and Don means Hashem judged me. Amar Rachel, me'ata now. Okamti pisulim ak mumios. I wrestled, asisi. I struggled. I engaged in very difficult struggles of prayer with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where I put myself under Hashem's judgment. I came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I pleaded with him. Hashem weighed the two sides, and Hashem judged me favorably to give me these two children. That's why each is called Don, and I thought the same in what we mean. Why? Now I can compare myself to my sister Leah. What was the great thing about Leah? She had a child called Yehuda. And what did Yehuda do? Yehuda produced a Bezalel. And what did Bezalel do? Bezalel built the Mishkan. So that's quite an accomplishment. So Leah, Rachel, was jealous. I also want to have a child that will participate in building the Beis HaMikdash. Enochanami, Hashem gave her Oholiyah ben Achis Machlamatei Don. So he also participated. That's when it came to the Mishkan. What about when it came to the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Shlomo, who was the one that participated in building the Beis HaMikdash? This person, this Ben Isha Almana, and she came from Sheva Don. So that's what that's me. Lelei Achosi Im Leah Tispar beBetzalel. It will take pride in Betzalel Bina Sheyase HaMishkan Yitzchak L'Shtativ B'Malachtei Echem Bnei Don Shenemar. Ito Ocholiyah ben Achis Machlamatei Don V'im Shlomo ben Achis Yivne Beis HaMikdash Tzorach L'Shtativ. Shlomo is going to build the Beis. Shlomo is also from Sheva Yehuda. So here Rashi is telling us an incredible idea that Shlomo is the equivalent of Bezalel. Okay, you don't think of it like that. Okay, I don't think the average person thinks that. We don't come to this, we have Yehuda Bezalel, and then we have Oholiyah ben Achis Machlamatei Don. When it comes to Beis HaMikdash, we have here the craftsman who came from a Ben Ish Almana from Shevet Don. Very good. Where's the Yehuda? Where's the Bezalel? Shlomo is the Bezalel. That's what Rashi says. It's a beautiful idea to know. Beis HaMikdash. Tzorach l'shtatif imo b'bnei Don v'naftali, and it's from Don v'naftali. And who is Don v'naftali? Those, the mother and father, are children of Rachel. He's b'nei Don, also Don v'naftali. And Rachel and Leah are teaming up to build together the base, the Mishkan and the base Hamish. I always tell you, I told you a few times, I told you again, not everyone heard this, is that's why one of the reasons we have on the top of the Aron two lions. Why are there two lions on the top of a Daf Gemara, on the top of an Aron? They don't do this anymore, right? In the modern shuls today, it's out of style. But it used to be very popular to have lions on top of the Aron. Who in the Torah is compared to a lion? Two shvatim in the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. Don Gur Aryeh. Don is called a lion in the bracha of Yaakov, Birchas Yaakov, Parash Vayechi. Who is called Yehuda? Yehuda is called a lion. What's the pasuk? I don't remember the pasuk.
Yehuda.
Yehuda is called Gur Aryeh Yehuda. So we have over here the bracha of Yaakov, the bracha of Moshe, the bracha of Yaakov, Yehuda is called a lion, and in the bracha of Moshe, Don is called a lion. What does Yehuda and Don have in common? They are the builders, the Bezalel, and Aholiyah ben Achis Machlamatei Don. Going now down to the Bayis Rishon, Shlomo is the Bezalel, and the Ben Isha Almana from Shevet Don is the Aholiyah ben Achis Machlamatei Don. Also together with Naftali, that was the injection, that was the boost of Naftali, but it's Don. They're both lions. In other words, you come to the basis, why were they both builders? No one should, the Medrash says, no one should say that I have no Makom here. This is only for the elite. Or the elite should not say, oh, this is just for the pechusim, for the low people. everyone is equal when you come into the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone has a chelek from the greatest of the Shvatim all the way through the lowest of the Shvatim. When you come into a Beis HaKnesses, when you come into the Beis HaKnesses, you come to the Aron HaKodesh, don't make a mistake and think it's not for me. It's only for the Miyuchasim, only for the Giborim, only for the Ashirim. Everyone is equal before Hashem when you come into the Beis HaKnesses. There are two lions. There's the lion of Yehuda, the lion of Dan, from Migadol liat Katan, from Bitzalel until Aholiyav, from Yishlomo until the Ben Isha, this Almana. She's also an Almana. It also adds to the characteristic of Dan. Dan was the Pechusim, the Ben Almanet in those times. The Ben Almanet, you have no father, you have no advocate, you're nothing, you're just a Yassim. Who are you? You're nothing. No, this person was going to be the builder. He came from rags to riches, but in spiritual riches, and he is going to be the builder. So that's the very reason why two lions, unfortunately today, the two lions have gone to the forest. They've gone to the jungle. They don't come to shul anymore, the lions. And all the new shuls, they don't...
Deforestation.
Global warming.
We had them on the steps.
Global warming, our...
Get into the shul.
Well, you have it at the Fifth Avenue Library.
Even though the parochas, it's not installed to make a parochas still with lions.
Yes.
They have the trees, right? Green. We've gone green. All the parochas have the nice eights. But where are the lions? They used to have lions on the parochas. What? Some, depends. The old ones. Some, yeah, there's some here.
Okay.
What?
B'nei Rochaleya as opposed to B'nei Ashvachos, because they were B'nei Ashvachos, that means everybody. Even the lowly B'nei Ashvachos.
Right, that's also, it's Rochel with the B'nei Ashvachos here. Okay.